Hello, folks. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. Thank you for tuning into the show all about Mormon news and events and culture, the things that make Mormons tick. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm joined by my co-host, Al. There he is. Hello, Al. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jeff?
I'm just wonderful.
What a great radio voice you have, Jeff.
Thank you very much for tuning into This Week in Mormons, everyone.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I feel like I'm throwing you off.
I feel like you're trying really hard right now.
I am. I run out of creative ways to start the show, and there we go. It was either going to be that, or I was going to have to sing Aaliyah's Try Again once again.
What is that? What does that mean?
You know, I don't know. You know, yeah. First you don't succeed. You know. Pick yourself up and try again. We've done this before, though, like 10 weeks ago or something, so I don't need to do it again.
Can we talk about what a great episode name the Gay Boy Scouts Church Blockers was?
Okay, let's talk about it. Tell me all about it.
I just love that. I love it.
Why do you love it, Al?
I don't. No, I think we're so clever, Jeff. I think we are incredibly, incredibly clever.
We are witty fellows.
We really are. Super.
And that's why people tune in. We're not like other LDS podcasts. We are actually witty and funny.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, at least I think you are, Al.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, what are we going to do?
I was just reading that little note somebody left that said, we don't incorporate enough Arrested Development into the show.
Well, obviously we must.
No. Forget you, Megan.
That tree must die.
You think you're so powerful with your comments on the blog demanding that we bring that back? No. Not till May 4th I won't bring it back. May 4th. Season 4 comes out.
I've actually been making my way through. I'm in season 2 right now, so
you're rewatching.
Yeah, you got to prepare yourself.
Oh my. Oh my.
Don't you feel it's good to watch? I had some flights over the weekend, so we caught up.
we did some work. Did a little bit of work.
Yeah, I mean, I could have written thank you notes for the wedding, or
no, Jeff. They know that you're grateful when they give it to you. That's what.
Actually, here's what really bummed me out. So we're flying back. I'm flying back on Monday night.
Yeah.
On a flight from Denver.
Uh huh.
And nowadays it's a little fuzzy to me, depending on the airline, whether the movies they show are edited anymore or not. Right? If it's like R rated, you used to be able to rely on that pretty easily. If it's an R rated movie.
Yeah. No, they're not edited anymore.
Not generally, but sometimes they are. It just depends. Because they can't show graphic violence or nudity or anything like that, because there could be kids sitting in the seat. You know, there's no way for them to regulate that. But language, on the other hand, it's headphones. What can they do? So so Argo was one of the movies playing, which I have desperately wanted to see. It's supposed to be a great film. Fascinating period of American history. I just have been... Argo has been one of those movies that has tempted me to break my R-rated movie rule, you know, very much.
Wait,
so.
Why? What's the premise of Argo?
Oh, Al. Argo is based on the true story, affectionately called the Canadian Caper, that happened in 1979, immediately after the American embassy in Tehran was sieged by Iranians. And what happened was, while there was the whole Iranian hostage situation that went on for, you know, over a year or whatever that was, you had 6 American diplomats who escaped, and this whole saga of how the CIA and the Canadians and the Brits got them out of there, but under the pretense of being a Canadian film crew filming a science fiction movie in Iran. And it sounds made up, but that's actually how they did it.
Oh, my.
So it's called Argo, because Argo was they actually got some Hollywood producers to... like go along with it. They got them all like top secret clearance, whatever they had to do to produce this film in every way, have screenwriters, have publications and Hollywood materials to make it seem totally legit, so that if the Iranians were to look at anything, they would see that it's actually a real movie happening in the U.S. And so it was this elaborate scheme to get these diplomats out of Iran. But anyway, that's a true story. Look it up. It was called The Canadian Caper. You can find that on Wikipedia. if you want more details. And Argo is the movie about that. And it's rated R because it has like 20-odd F-bombs or something like that.
Oh, my.
Which is too much.
For a PG-13.
It's rated R originally. Yeah. So they played it, and I was like, I wonder if they edit it. And then so the wifey and I decided to give it a go. And when it started, it said it's been formatted to fit your screen and edited for content. So I was very optimistic. I said, this is happening. I'm going to see this movie finally. And we were so excited. And I watched it for about 6 minutes, and I heard 4 F-bombs, and I had to change it to Wreck-It Ralph.
No. That's the worst, when you're like, all right, I'm finally going to watch this rated R movie. And then it turns out that it was really rated R.
I was bummed, and I'm not going to lie. I wonder if my wife and I were kind of looking at each other to see who would flinch first, kind of playing chicken.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I'm cool with it if you're cool with it.
I don't know, but I had to stand by my ethics. It was a sad story, but I did get some episodes of Full House out of it. So.
They had Full House on the airplane?
They did, because our flight left an hour later, so they gave us all the DirecTV and movies for free. And so I watched Full House, good 3 or 4 episodes.
You are a champion.
Thank you. That's my story from the weekend. I went to California for the weekend, so it was, wonderful.
It's good work. I was in Missouri.
Not as fun.
Flew back, and our basketball team lost last week because I take full credit because I wasn't there.
Which basketball team?
Our ward basketball team.
Oh, they have those there.
No, so in our ward, we have, I think there's 5 guys over 6'4".
Okay, and I know they're not your family because you're actually kind of the...
No. We just have this unusually monstrous ward.
All right.
So, yeah.
And they lost because of you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
So I'm back. We're going to bring the heat tomorrow. Here comes the boom, as Kevin James says.
LeBron is going to be there?
Here comes the boom.
But that's MMA.
That's a great movie, by the way. I don't care what you say, Jeff. I love that film.
Clearly, it's the second week in a row that you have referenced
it. I continually watch it. Boom!
On repeat.
Here comes the boom.
Have you even seen it, actually?
No, I just read about it on the internet. Rotten Tomatoes loves it.
Oh, yeah. It got great reviews on there. They just ate it up.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I got to go to Disneyland for free, so life was great.
Oh my gosh. You are over 30.
What? I went to Cars Land.
Jeff, there's nothing to do at Disneyland for you. Nothing.
I grow went there up. And I went on the in the Cars Land.
Be a man. Do the right thing.
And it was marvelous.
No.
I don't know why you would tell me to do the right thing. It was the right thing.
Was it?
I love so much about the things that I chose to be.
Do you?
Uh-huh. I do. It was great.
Okay, well, good. Well, good.
Yeah, mock me all you want, but it was great. You're out there failing at basketball, and I am riding Radiator Springs Racers and just changing Western civilization by so doing.
Well, good work, Jeff.
Thank you. Very happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's nice. You.
Thank you.
So, that's all. Well, that's really all we had going on. Anyway, we got Mormon news. You want to talk about Mormon news?
Must we? I hear great things. Well, go ahead. Yeah, take us there. Fine, party.
All right. So, just as an update, last week, we talked about the Boy Scouts of America were voting on whether or not to have gays, to allow gay scouts or young men that identify themselves as gay or homosexual in their troops. And then they delayed that vote, right? So the church issued a statement on it that said, "We believe the Boy Scouts of America has acted wisely in delaying a vote on this policy issue until the implications can be more carefully evaluated." That was their statement. Two things. One, interesting that the church bothered to weigh in. Two, some have speculated that the church was behind the delay.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Which, I mean, honestly, just like we talked about last week, though, Jeff, I mean, it wasn't easy for us to come to a conclusion really quick on the one hand, yeah, great. Equality for all, we are for that, right? on the other hand, does it like are the, what are the implications to, I mean, to making this broad change, even from like our church's standpoint, because it's long been asserted that our church would respond by structuring its own, like maybe glorifying the duty to God program and ditching Boy Scouts if that were the case. Now we don't know, like I honestly don't know what the church's stance on it would be. And
neither do I.
I think the church is probably grateful to have a little bit more time to figure this out too.
Probably. And of course I really wonder if it's substantiated at all that the church might have pressured BSA to, you know, chill out and wait a little bit.
Wait, what is that? You feel like it is substantiated?
I don't know. No, I don't know if it is, but who knows? They were seemed very close to a vote, and all of a sudden they don't want to. And then right around the same time, the church releases a thing saying how grateful they are that it's been delayed so that they can really weigh the ramifications of such a decision.
So the I'm not saying the worry,
anything because I don't know.
The worry is that if there's a religious organization that wants to deny access for gay or homosexual scouts, that they would be in danger of litigation because they were discriminating, right? If the Boy Scouts of America overthrew the ban. And so, I find myself having a lot of discussions around this topic, not around Boy Scouts, but just around gays and the church and how all that works. And right now we're in such a state of flux that I am genuinely interested to see how the church responds to this. And
yeah, me too.
More particularly, how Elder Packer will respond to it.
When did they? I forgot. Did we get a firm timeline for when the?
They said May.
Actually, that's very vague.
May. It's not vague. That's in a couple of months.
I don't know if I'm satisfied with that though. I want to know now. Don't care how. I want it now.
I don't know what that means.
Don't care how. I want it now.
Is that a Rolling Stones song?
No, it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is carefully assessing the consequences. Okay, here. Hold on. There's another piece of this. For 100 years, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has enjoyed a strong, rewarding relationship with Boy Scouts of America, as both organizations have worked to build and strengthen the moral character and leadership skills of young men. The recent announcement that the BSA planned to make a policy change in its standards for membership and leadership has triggered intense debate from many segments of society. We believe BSA has acted wisely in delaying this policy issue until the implications can be more fully evaluated. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is carefully assessing the consequences of this policy change on the church's program to build and strengthen young men, but it has not commented on it, and a decision will not be made until we have assessed all the implications. We caution others not to speculate about our position or to assume that individual Latter-day Saints inside or outside the scouting movement speak for the church. Neither has the church launched any campaign either to effect or prevent a policy change.
Well, there we go. That's on the record, so.
You get me?
I choose to believe it.
Good.
The other thing, sorry, if we can go back to some stuff from last week, if I may, just like you were just doing.
Yes, please.
We mentioned, of course, that it had been 5 years since President Monson assumed the prophetship, if you will. And we kind of missed this, but what in tandem with that, they have released a little series, a five-part series highlighting and honoring the five-year anniversary of President Monson's ministry as the president of the church. So the first one is called Reach Out to Rescue. And it's all about reaching out and rescuing and, you know, getting out there. And
it's about reaching and
it's
rescuing.
It's pretty self-explanatory. But these are some of these are actually written by President
Monson. The title speaks for itself. Reaching, outings, and rescues.
But then it's interesting because then we go part two, of course, is teachings. And it actually that one instead actually has different quotes from President Monson about different topics, little snippets basically about charity or courage or optimism or rescue, which you just wrote a whole article on. Part three has his ministry, which involves historic changes that have happened in the 5 years that President Monson has been the president of the church. And I'm sure you can find and think of a lot of those other than just the missionary news from last October. That's a fun thing. Part four, I love, is just travel. See where the prophet has traveled. They have just a full list of everywhere he's been. And lastly, events. Just any event he's been a part of.
So I would love to see his Pardon. Travel done in a Visify. Do you have a Visify profile, Jeff?
I do not have a Visify profile, but that would be more fun to see because, right, yeah, it's just a list right here, and that would be...
Because then it'd be like...
We love infographics so much. I can't believe they haven't made one for this.
We should do it. Let's do it.
So this is good. I just feel like I didn't see President Hinckley doing this for 5 years, celebrating himself.
He was playing the long game. I think Monson's worried he's out. He might be resigning, much like the Pope.
Oh, we should talk about that.
The Pope stuff.
That's like crazy news, man.
Yeah, that is pretty ridiculous. Not ridiculous, but like for those of you who don't know, the Pope this last week, he was done. He was good. He said, "Thanks everybody. He's past 85-ish, and that's when the last Pope died." And
Was John Paul 85?
Yep. Okay. And he resigned. He said, "I've got some health things. I'm not feeling so hot. I'm out." And he said that all in Latin, so I don't know exactly how that came out. But
the actual text is pretty interesting. Yeah, he said that he feels that he is no longer able to effectively administrate the duties of the papacy. So
now I remember when the RLDS Church had a similar thing where the guy who was prophet for them, after about 6 years, I want to say, he was just like, "All right, you know, I'm good. I'm good. I've enjoyed profiting, and now I don't want to do this anymore. I want to retire and go fish."
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, because no pope has resigned in about 600 years. And the last one who did it more when there was a period of sort of tumult in the church.
Well, there were like three popes going on, and he did it as a way to like save.
There were theological schisms. Yeah, exactly. So this is totally different because this is just a singular pope. Living in the, I don't even think there was no Vatican back then. They still had the Papal States back then, 600 years ago. So
I mean, what would drive somebody? Well, so yeah, what would drive somebody to be like? Well, I mean, maybe.
Maybe
he found a sweet nun, just wanted to get away.
No, it probably is just health, and I think that's a very courageous move if it really is health. And he's honestly saying,
"Well, but
like,
popes,
look, I really
popes die. Well, that's what they do. Is they just they grow old and die." Like.
I know, but maybe he is trying to save dignity for the office and saying, "Look, I cannot do this anymore."
No, like, you don't save dignity for the office by looking back the last 600 years and seeing how everybody else did it and saying, "I'm going to do it differently to save the office." No, that's,
well, I don't know. Well, and the thing is, what about the parallel? And of course, this makes us think of the parallels in our church. And I don't know everything about Catholic structure. But I think one of the big differences between our church and the Catholic Church, of course, is that while we have the president of the church, he has two counselors, and he has the 12. And they do make decisions unanimously. The Pope, on the other hand, I'm sure he has advisors, but he rules a lot more sort of unilaterally.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what the Catholic Church does if a Pope is infirm or just, you know, unable to actually function, how they actually make decisions. I don't know what's done in that case. In our case, you had... President Benson and President Hunter had poor health, and President Hinckley just ran the show for a long time.
Yeah.
You know? This does beg the question, though, and this is something that's gone
around.
Wait,
so what, like, I mean, yes. The, like, back to the Catholic Church, what happens, yes. What happens for them? Is this a question of faith, do you think? Like, is there anything here that says maybe he's just not as convinced of Catholicism?
I don't think it's that at all.
You don't think that maybe he got up to the top level and was like, "Yeah, it's all right, not great."
The only thing I would think, and this is just pure speculation on my part, would be that perhaps the sex abuse scandals of this whole period have rocked him pretty hard. And while he wouldn't admit to that being a reason for stepping down, that could have played a role. But I would sincerely doubt that the man has gotten to the top. And
to
said,
his credit,
wait a minute.
To his credit, and I would think that President Monson has a similar struggle. The decisions and directions that you have to take now as a church that no other pope or prophet has faced over the last ever are exceptionally difficult, right? For the pope, the gay, or not the gay, the sex abuse scandals. The Catholic Church's stance on homosexuality. There's all these things that are coming into play that he's having to be like, I don't know. Wow. Let's try. I mean, and President Monson is having to do the same thing. These are hard questions. Boy Scouts of America are going to let gays in. What do you do, church? I don't know. Right. Let me figure this out. You know, like these are not easy problems that are coming up to the church. I think much harder than what has been faced in probably the last 50 years. But who knows? So anyway.
Who knows? So we'll see what happens. We'll get a new pope sometime.
So this begs the question, Jeff. What question?
Well, some people are wondering, myself included. I wonder two things. One, you know, can the president of the church ever retire because of poor health? It's never happened in the modern era.
Because of poor health?
Or because of any reason. Can the president elect to retire?
No.
And then coupled with that, the fact that the first presidency and the 12 serve life terms, is that written anywhere? Is that dictated anywhere in the Doctrine and Covenants or in any other manual? Or is that merely tradition and custom? And we just stick with it because we always have.
So,
the way that the
presidency and all of that works is the hierarchy is set up and they all know that when it's their time to go, they die.
Sure.
Right?
Yes,
And so, but the dying is all part of it. If you get sick and you're sick for a year and a half, you don't excuse yourself from service. I mean, you're just sick as an apostle, and they take care of each other and help each other out. I mean, think of like Elder Worthlin, right? That guy had every excuse to quote unquote retire, like the last 10 years of his ministry. I don't think he left Salt Lake. He was just like beat down.
Well, I don't think the last 10 years. But one of the biggest examples, though, was President Benson near the end went through repeated general conferences without appearing. No public appearances at all near the end.
Yeah, he was just in the hospital.
Yeah, pretty much. And so it does beg the question. I know, and you're right. Of course, we have that support network. But what my main question is, could someone do that if they wanted to? What I've learned from this experience, with the Catholic Church, is that while every pope has stayed on until his death, there has been nothing in the books that says they have to. It's just been custom that they stay until they die. And so I wonder, is it custom or is it a requirement of the office?
Well, so this is the quote that I've had from apostles where they talk about this is a lifelong calling. So they've been called in for the remainder of their lives. And that's how it's worded, that exact verbiage. This is a lifelong calling. I'm here until the end. Now, if you decided that you would like to excuse yourself from that, right, sort of a dishonorable discharge sort of thing, I would suspect, similar to how they did it back in the old days when, like, they had it, was it Thomas B. Marsh had a disagreement with other members of the 12 and felt like they had wronged him somehow. I mean, it's an excommunication, right? Like there's not a path out. There's not an escape hatch in there. If you accept that, then you're bound to it.
I assume so. But what I'm saying is I wonder if they're really bound, because I've never seen anything on paper that says they absolutely
have to. You wonder
if
they're really bound. Hold on.
No, well, they are, but we just do it. I'm just saying. It's interesting, too, because not since President Benson has the church actually acknowledged incapacitation or health issues impacting any church presidents. Like, we've known they've not been as well, but even with President Hunter, we just kind of pretended there wasn't a problem. I mean, President Hinckley, we found out randomly through press releases, had surgery for some cancerous tumors and stuff like that. And so it makes us wonder. And I'm reading in the blogosphere, there's some people who have said that through their contacts at the administration building that President Monson actually suffers from mild dementia here and there.
So, really? Like he just can't remember things?
This could all be complete speculation because it's merely what I've read through some boards and people and stuff. But just saying, yeah, like he's been in the administration building and not known where he was and stuff like that. So,
well, and you know that stuff has to happen, right?
It has to. I mean, they get older. President Monson's always been in pretty good health, but, they get older. But like you said, Al, the big difference is they have a support network. President Monson could be completely incapacitated, and Presidents Eyring and Uchtdorf could run the church just fine.
Yeah.
Doing that. And that's why when the prophet dies, the keys of the church are held collectively by the 12, not by just one man, you know.
For that that's reason.
But I think it's been pretty interesting just seeing a pope resign and just what that...
Will this have an impact on the Catholic Church, do you think? Like, the membership, will the membership respond?
They have no pope. Will the membership respond how? What?
Like, in a negative way?
I'm not Catholic? I don't think so. I obviously don't have as much, any kind of a... You know, an emotional investment here, but I don't look at this like he's bailing on the job or something like that. I wonder if it will establish a precedent for any future popes to also just step down when they feel like they've done their job and might go, or if this will be the one anomaly and they'll just keep carrying on dying in office. That's the interesting thing, if this will establish a precedent or not.
Man, that would be nuts. You're just like, all right, I'm tired now. Time to go home.
That's the thing. Could you imagine if we're in general conference or something and President Monson said, all right, I've done good work and the Lord has said I'm fine and I am going to step down now.
No.
I know. It'll never happen, but you know that would be weird.
That would be really weird.
Just a little bit.
Anywho.
Yes.
What do you have, Jeff? What do you have?
Oh, you want more from me. Okay. Well, the church is also working very quietly behind the scenes on a gay rights bill for Utah. So attorneys for the church are in quiet discussions with Utah's gay and lesbian community, which is not unsubstantial in Salt Lake, trying to hammer out language for a statewide ban on housing and employment discrimination that the church could support. So it's just about housing and employment. Basically, I think allowing gay couples to get those rights.
They're promoting the rights?
Yeah, no, I think the church is on board with this, but they are hammering out the particulars of it.
Well, good for them.
I think they obviously...
I think this is a good... I mean, from the church's PR perspective, right, it's better to be a part of this in helping facilitate it and guide it than it is to be like coming in from the outside at the end. I think it's smarter than to get involved early and to be, you know, having a voice and understanding that it's going to happen, and let's help structure this in a way that like we can all take a meaningful part.
Right.
Savvy.
And of course, and the thing is, and let me work on this. There's a Salt Lake City ordinance that's been a model, but the church isn't fully on board with that one. That's just what has been discussed. That one forbids housing and employment discrimination based on a person's sexual orientation. It exempts religious organizations, businesses with fewer than 15 employees, and some small landlords, which is interesting. It creates a complaint and investigation process and requires annual reports by the city's Human Rights Commission. So the church, I don't think, has been totally big on that aspect of it for some reason, but... Basically, I think the sticking point is whether churches should be exempt from the discrimination ban. I don't know. How would that affect the church? If it's about housing and employment, would that be because the church would want to reserve the right to deny employment to a gay person? Like just working for the church? Or I don't know. What would it be?
I wonder what the wording is. Like what their stance is. Because I'm assuming from this article that they are promoting the rights, which they've often said. I mean, the church's stance is that they are for gay rights, accepting in marriage, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think they are, but they are clearly taking their time for the particulars of language, especially if it's about exemptions for faiths, probably to still give them some of the leeway to do what they want.
Who's to say?
I don't know.
Let's see. In Brigham City. Apparently, there was a little kerfuffle. The city had placed a ban of some sort on protesting. I don't understand everything out of these two articles that I've read on it. But from what I gather, the city had a ban on protesting, specifically around the temple, and I guess that wasn't legal. They were supposed to be able to protest. And they were not allowed to in Brigham City.
Yeah. I think it was they weren't being allowed to protest in front of the temple. It's from, there's a non-denominational church called Main Street Church.
It's a non-denominational denomination.
Yeah, and they wanted to, you know, distribute flyers and stuff outside the temple, and I believe that was shot down by what I'm assuming is a largely LDS Brigham City Council.
And, I mean, it's interesting because if you've been to the Brigham City Temple, it's right on the main drag. I mean, you and I went there together.
Yeah, we went there when it was almost done.
That's right. And but it's right on the street. There's not a lot of buffer between the temple and the public space. And so I'd imagine they were a little bit picky about where people could go and stuff. And so they brought a lawsuit against the church. The church settled for $11,000. It's done.
Yeah.
It's over.
And that takes some cojones too, man. If you're in like somewhere, I mean, Salt Lake's one place, but if you're just up in Brigham City to be a very much a minority church or group to go up against the powers that be in the theocracy of Wasatch Front communities, you know,
it's like being a Mormon in Missouri.
Seriously. I mean, that's one thing I, you know, being a Mormon, part of me enjoys going to Utah because while there is much lameness to be had, there's also there's some sense of belonging that it's nice to just be around people who largely share your values and stuff. But
yeah,
I went
to the dentist today and I was like, he was like, oh, where'd you have that Russian shirt from? And I said, oh, I served a mission in Ukraine. He was like, oh, cool. My boy served missions over blah, blah. Just like
it is kind of nice. I mean, I used to go to Del Taco in Provo once, and the guys were just talking, like the workers there are like, yeah, we had like steak temple night, so everyone's really tired. Like we all did a baptismal assignment. Where else does that happen? You know, you don't just.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try to maybe empathize with other faiths that are very much the minority in parts of Utah, because I can imagine how kind of on the defensive they feel oftentimes. Even if we don't do anything inherently wrong, just, you know, culturally, sociologically, it's hard.
Dujitsukavo.
So we got some updates on Yasumake.
How?
I'm convinced this story will never go anywhere.
You don't think he'll become president, Jeff?
I think it's more something like his campaign people are paying off church publications to run articles on him. So now this article is from the Deseret News.
Wait.
It's called Meet... Yes.
Wait, why? Like, do you feel like he doesn't have a chance? Is that it?
Well, my understanding is that he's not actually a serious. Well, for one thing, the whole election is up in the air.
They say the Mormon presidential candidate in Mali, he's one of the front runners. They say the
Where
top.
Does it say he's a front runner.
He's one of the top candidates in the Mali presidential race.
See, I don't think I feel that I've spoken with others who have said, no, he's just like, he's the John Huntsman of this race. You know, he's just.
He's got those weird commercials.
He's out there preaching ideas that are true, and he should be elected, but America's not ready for him yet. Exactly. So now you know how I feel about John Huntsman. But anyway, the point is, he has a bold plan for combating Islamic extremism. That's his new thing now. He has a plan to knock it down.
Well, I like that. I don't feel like we should be flippant with his motives here.
And he gave a speech at Sand Creek Middle School in Ammon, Idaho.
I don't feel like that's accomplishing much.
Because nothing says I want to be president of a West African Muslim nation like speaking to a middle school in Idaho.
Yeah, what's he doing in Idaho?
Hanging out and probably fundraising from sympathetic Mormons who want to become puppet masters in his West African state. I mean, you wonder why Al-Qaeda is trying to take the place over. They think Mormons are going to run the whole country from behind the scenes.
We're worried about the wrong group.
Clearly.
When are the elections? Because I feel like
I don't think they have any schedule.
We
right
have
now,
had
we
this story going on for like into the years,
2 years
now. Yeah.
2 years. Yeah. Well, the problem is elections were supposed to be last year. And as you know, Islamists took over about half of the country. Then the French government sent French military there to fight them back. And so now they've recaptured a lot of the country. But honestly, it could be some time until they hold another election. They're basically in the middle of civil strife. So
let's see. A presidential election should have taken place in 2012, according to the 92 Constitution. The first round is scheduled for April 29th. No candidate, blah, blah.
Not
going to
happen.
The second round was for May 13th. That didn't happen either. Never mind. This needs to be updated. Wikipedia,
I like this
you
article.
Failed me.
I like this article because it doesn't really talk about what his bold plan actually is. It just says that he has one.
I believe he does.
Maybe this is how Mormons run for politics. I'm sorry. This just reminds me of Mitt Romney. I have a plan. I'll do this.
What is his plan? We don't care.
We never knew. We never found out. And we might never find out.
Why are you so negative, Jeff? You're so angry against Malians.
I love Malians, actually. I feel for their country. But I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. I just love that it says the election was put off last year after extremist activity caused delays. You want to talk about a euphemism, Deseret News? Extremist activity makes it sound like people were protesting and disrupting the election. Armed Islamists took over half the country. That's a bit more than, quote, extremist activity.
End quote.
Who wrote this? Who wrote this? I don't... Was this Robert Walton? Who are you, Robert Walton?
He's a coward.
He might be a coward. I'm assuming it.
Did you want to talk about... I saw, Jeff, you shared on Facebook a little blurb about the moral or spiritual implications involved with genetically engineering babies. Did you care enough about that to talk?
I honestly don't know what my opinions are. I really wanted to put that to our followers and listeners. There's a debate. If you've ever listened to Intelligence Squared, it's a reproduction of a British show by the same name. It's sponsored by NPR. It is a debate format, Oxford-style debating, where two teams, very much traditional style, go back and forth in a civilized way. It's very, very... No, it's wonderful, and it makes you wish that all of our politics were like this, because they have sections and different ways of doing it and ways that they have to respond and argue their points. But anyways, they're going to have one coming up. I think it's going to be this week about whether... there's a motion always whether it is okay or not to have genetically engineered babies. It just makes me wonder, like, what would the church feel about something?
Well, does
like
the church even like stem cell?
And the church has never said anything about stem cells.
And they've never said anything about like cloning or anything like that, right?
Yeah, well, because we've cloned animals and stuff, but if we take it up to the human level,
I've seen Arnold Schwarzenegger's films, Jeff.
Like Junior?
No, like the...
He has a baby.
What's the one... Maybe it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe it's somebody else. There was a good one where they were... they had like... They'd go to a cloning place. Maybe Matt Damon or Ben Affleck. Robin Williams, I'm sure. Mr. The Bionic Dad, maybe. I don't know.
You're referencing material from so many...
I don't know.
Films.
It's in my head. I cannot remember... But
okay, we've got
they had to go and clone these kids. I mean, that's the future. We're going to be cloned, and we'll clone our puppies. The Battlestar Galactica. There will be a resurrection ship soon. Who is the hybrid? That's what I want to know.
Oh, okay. So it makes me like, what if we were to clone a human? What about the actual spirit aspect of these things? You know, it's just weird.
Or does that prove that there is no spirit?
Yeah, does this person get a spirit? And if a spirit's, like, would it just be a randomly assigned one who comes on down when they're cloned? I mean...
God's like, shoot, hold on, we got another body down there.
Hey, Bill, sorry, you gotta go be somebody else.
He's like, but I was with them, I was gonna marry so-and-so.
So I don't know. And then I don't think it's as weird to talk about genetically modifying children, but I still wonder how many gray areas we're dealing with. And that very much goes to the movie Gattaca, which talks specifically about... genetically modifying kids into perfection, you know, so that only those who are in that movie, it showed that like parents could pick and choose, could get rid of all of the debilitations that their child had.
That seems nice.
It does seem nice, but when everyone is special, no one is special.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. We put that up there, and it's something I haven't given a lot of thought about, and I would like to open that discussion up for everyone.
Okay.
What do you think about it?
Okay, good. No, Well, so my thoughts on it are, I have no idea.
All right, good. Party.
No, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't taken the time to, like, structure an opinion on it. I would say, I mean, The question, I think, is more just because, well, the question is more if science can support it. Like, if you can do something with science, are, like, the moral implications of it, are, I'm having trouble thinking of, like, a nuclear bomb or something, sure, where you're, like, hurting people. There's obvious, like, don't use science for that. But, like, science, it's like working on genetics and things like that. I mean, is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it just gets dicier if we were actually playing God, you know? Actually, like, bringing life into the world without conception.
It's a scary thing.
It is. So.
Anywho.
All right.
Anywho.
Yeah. Send us your thoughts. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have? We've got Motab. They're streaming music in the spoken word for Valentine's Day.
Ooh, yay. They did their first streaming on Facebook.
I feel like they're really excited about this.
Yeah, they got a little too. They also apparently had their 1 millionth collective view on the Motab channel.
My quilting channel has had 15 million.
See, so
they need better SEO.
Obviously.
Or to buy views off Fiverr like Sony does.
I can buy views?
Yeah. YouTube will take them away. They figured out the algorithm to knock those back down, and like a bunch of Sony Music videos dropped like 300 million views. Opa!
Anyway, yeah, so I guess they their Valentine's special was called We Love Our Fans.
Clever. That's gonna.
They streamed it on the Bookface.
You can still go see it. Go see it, people.
Also, in other news, Obama will be delivering the State of the Union, and by the time you hear this, it will have passed. And he and the House and many people have been open about the fact that they are looking to Utah and the Mormon Church as the real country's hope on immigration because of the Utah Compact. It was regarded by many as a sensible immigration solution that was supported by conservatives. So the pressure is on, Utah. The pressure.
No, he likes them. He says great.
I know. So we'll see if it happens, if it gets through anything. Unless Jason Chaffetz screws it all up like he does everything else.
How will he mess it up?
He's just a chump of a congressman. If any of you listen and you're in Chaffetz's district, how dare... Why did you elect him? There were so many better options. Like air or a puppy.
Air? You were going to elect air? Wait, what don't you like about him? What's wrong with him?
He's just a jabroni. That's all. I live here in D.C.
Use your words, buddy. Use your words.
I can't use them. I can't use them. They're too special.
Use your words, buddy. Tell me what you're trying to say.
I don't know how. But that's a sideshow. The point is, go Utah. Utah might be the one who saves immigration reform, who saves us all.
I expect it will. So, we have the Mormon Temple open house in Honduras.
In Tegucigalpa. It's called Tegucigalpa. Big, so open house is on. Open last weekend.
Go see it.
It's a big deal because the Tegucigalpa one is the one that was announced a long time ago, and they started building it, and then they ran into a lot of issues with the community and actually had to stop, and they relocated and started over. So it's finally done.
Crazy talk. But the highlight of this week, the best story that Jeff and I were able to find.
31 dates in 31 days.
Oh yeah, go that one first. That was gonna
I knew
go.
That's not the one.
I was gonna go. I know Mormon the one woman shakes for. It at Carnival.
Yeah. So here's the one. This woman who clearly is being creative and really she must have just watched The Mormon Bachelorette decided for her 31st birthday because you know she was graduating from the singles ward. She's based in New York, Al. You probably made out with her once.
I should have.
Yes. Her name is for everyone who cares. Her name is Tamara Durica.
Oh, yeah, that girl was crazy.
Did you know her?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, darn. Anyway, she blogged about her dates. She went on 31 dates in 31 days, and all the dates had to be under $31.
Uh-oh.
She found a husband in the process. She got married because of this.
Son of a gun. Maybe I need to do that.
See? Maybe you just need to take dating seriously and quit viewing it like disposable pleasures.
They're not disposable pleasures, Jeff.
Ah.
I date like a man.
Well, building on that, tell us about the woman who shakes it at Carnival.
There is a woman from Salem, Oregon, who is in Brazil, dancing in Carnival, and CNN found her, found out she was Mormon, and deemed that worthy to do a story on.
Yeah, why is it worthy? Is it because she's supposed to be all non-sexy?
It is not. They just show this chick who like glitters up and goes and dances in this parade. And they think it's crazy because she's wearing a Vegas showgirl outfit and she's Mormon. They would be interested to know.
Well, maybe she wants to feel a man's hand on her.
There's nothing wrong with wearing a Vegas showgirl outfit. Is there, Jeff? It's a little immodest.
She has to dance to a pounding beat.
For 2 hours. There's nothing like it. I would be curious, people that live in Vegas, there's got to be like Vegas showgirl dancers that are members of the church, right? Wouldn't you assume? Like, well, because you're allowed to wear, I mean, you can't, well, I don't know. I don't know.
Vegas showgirls take their shirts off.
Oh, never mind then.
They show
the goods.
I thought
they just had the big headdress.
No, they show the goods. That's why there's a movie called Showgirls.
I thought that was a different kind of show.
No, they do naked
things. I need
things.
To go to more shows. I have no idea
you
what's
do.
Going
you,
on.
You got to quit going to see the Osmonds and Mamma Mia when you're in Vegas.
It was Garth Brooks, and he was fantastic.
That Penn and Teller act just gets old after
it. Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Like, Mormons are allowed to be bartenders, right?
Sure. I mean, in theory, I guess
we can be like you can work at jobs that don't necessarily. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what's right or wrong with this. Can you be a model and model lingerie? Or is that allowed?
You tell me, Al. You tell me. You know all about models.
No, I don't. I have no idea.
I don't know. My favorite thing about this story.
I do have a friend that was a model, and the bishop called her in and said, "Hey, the young women are seeing your Facebook stuff," and she wasn't putting it on her Facebook, but other people were putting it up and like tagging her.
That's fuzzy. I admit.
But like, is it the bishop's place to police that? Is it just a personal decision?
I guess it falls more on personal decision, but I don't know. But what if it became a thing where it was affecting adversely other people in a ward?
I also do not know.
But the best thing about the story with the woman is the fact that she is Mormon really has no bearing on the story whatsoever. It should better just be called An American Shakes It at Carnival and how she studied for it. There's no mention of her faith or anything. It's stupid.
She's good shaking it. Anyway, that's all for us this week. Everybody, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
And on Twitter at TheRealTwim.
Also, send us emails, contact at thisweekinmormons, or leave us a comment on our website, thisweekinmormons.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And find us on YouTube at TWI Mormons.
Like This Week in Mormons. Mormons. I get it.
And keep your eye out for Sunday School Bonanza, where you can prepare for gospel doctrine and be better informed about what the heck is happening in your class. Or if you're like me and you're stuck with 4-year-old children, it might just help you feel the spirit during church. So
go get it.
We all have options. Anyway, Al, I hope that you have a wonderful, stress-free week.
I will. I will. Jeff, you too. Have a good one, buddy.
I'll do my best. Thanks for listening to This Week in Mormons. Once again, folks, we love hearing from you and love having you. We'll talk to you next week. We wish you well. Ta-ta.
Terrified by the plane ride home to your mother's house in Galveston. The furniture was covered in white. such a long, long flight. And you spoke no words. Glorified was the yard out front. All the weeds from acquaintances. On the cards were the names you heard. On the phone.